This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for joining us today. While legislation delaying digital TV conversion awaits the signature of President Barack Obama, he and other Democrats had raised concerns that many Americans wouldn't be ready for the switch that was to occur on February 17th when broadcasters were scheduled to end analog signals. The U.S. House voted yesterday 264 to 158 to postpone the end of analog TV signals. The Senate acted last week, so now it appears we'll have another 4 months to prepare for the conversion. On the program today, we're going to talk about DTV with Rich Warren, who writes a technology column for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. Listeners, if you have questions about digital television, give us a call and talk to Rich. Join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. In addition to writing his weekly column for the News Gazette, Rich Warren contributes articles and reviews to newspapers and magazines across the country. He also hosts the Midnight Special. The program airs on stations around the country, including this one. You can hear the Midnight Special Saturday afternoons from 2 to 4 o'clock here on AM 580. 333-9455, 800-222-9455 if you'd like to talk with Rich. Well, what do you make of this delay?
I think our government is trying to create as much confusion as possible. They say they're postponing it, but in reality, they're just making more confusion. There was no reason to postpone this because everyone over the past year has been bombarded with newspaper articles, newspaper ads, radio announcements, TV announcements. I turn on Channel 12, and they're constantly having little segments about the transition to digital television, mm-hmm. how to be ready for it. As clear as day, I don't think there's a lot of confusion when the guy from This Old House comes on and says, this is what you're going to need. It's really simple. And I don't understand why there needs to be a postponement. There are plenty of converter boxes out there. They're all over the place. They're cheap. With the coupon, it's virtually free, or $5 or $10. Without the coupon, it's still only $45 or $50. A reader of mine in the newspaper got angry with me because I said that's just a bunch of Happy Meals, basically. But it's true. It's a fill-up of one SUV is the cost of a converter box. And so there's no reason that people need to worry. And if you're on cable, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. Things will go on tomorrow or February 17th or June 12th, as it is now, without any change. Cable viewers won't be affected. Satellite viewers won't be affected. So what is the big panic now with the government postponing the date? The economy is not going to get better by June 12th. I don't think people are going to have more money in May to buy a converter box than they have now.
Are they going to issue more coupons?
That's uncertain. Apparently, there are a lot of coupons that weren't cashed in. So they're going to, yes, reissue those coupons for the ones that weren't cashed in. But I don't believe there's any new money in the proposal to issue more coupons. And there's going to be no change in the system, per se. And meanwhile, it's costing television broadcasters a fortune in electricity to run two transmitters. I don't know what your chief engineer, fortunately, WILL is on the VHF spectrum, which means that it's less power being radiated, so there's less electricity being used. But you take a station that, like currently, like Channel 3, which is moving up to Channel 48 or 49, and they're probably pumping out $20,000 extra a month in electricity just to keep two transmitters operating.
Well, you know, we have cable at home, so I haven't been paying close attention. But now today, in order to do this show, I kind of started to get some things out and take a look at things. And, you know, we heard here at WILL about the House vote yesterday afternoon. Our TV station manager, Carl Caldwell, notified us. And he said, for now, WILL-TV will continue the analog signal. Now, here's something that came along in the email he sent. Some stations may go dark on their analog on February 17th anyway, and I've learned that some stations have already turned off their analog transmitters. I understand that in the state of Hawaii, There is no more analog.
Well, I think that's another good reason to move to Hawaii.
So I'm really confused.
Oh, it's making matters worse because, yes, the government says that they can, in fact, turn off their transmitter, their analog transmitter, on February 17th. Now, I doubt many stations are going to do this because they're scared of losing viewers because the viewers won't know what's going on, whether it's analog or digital, what to do. And the confusion that this postponement, I do not understand why our president got involved. This is something way below the presidential level. I don't know why Obama got involved with this. And I don't understand, with the current economy and all the problems happening in this country, why the Congress took time to vote about digital television. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got some listeners who are lined up and ready to talk with you, Rich. So let's go first to a caller in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Two things. First, to build on what you just said, I heard that there are two stations and TV stations in the Champaign area, I won't name them, who've decided to do the switch over in mid-February since the law allows them to, and therefore to save enormous amounts of money. And I want to urge WILL to end its analog broadcast because it will save money and you'll have to do that much less of a fundraising drive. There's no, everyone, as Rich said, has had warning, ample warning for years about this. And I think maybe those who've been procrastinating will finally get it because they will see that they don't have the results. And if they want to get TV over the air, they'll just go out and get a converter box. So that's my pledge drive urge, and I think it'll be a money-making proposition for WILL-TV. So that's, and I'll let you discuss it, and I'm sure the station manager, et cetera, will look at this. But the second issue I want to bring up is the issue of the UHF antenna for those of us who use rabbit ears. I use rabbit ears. It has a paltry UHF antenna, but when I go to the store to look for alternative rabbit ears, I don't find any that have particularly good UHF antennas as opposed to the VHF, Rich knows what I'm talking about. So I'd like to hear if you have suggestions about where and what in terms of those who have to use indoor antennas.
You're so right. First of all, I agree with your first points. And your second thing about the antennas, I've scoured the stores in this area. I went to Radio Shack. I went to Best Buy. I went to the late and unlamented Circuit City. And none of them had decent UHF indoor antennas. However, I went and Googled indoor UHF antenna on the Internet and found a lot of inexpensive, dedicated UHF antennas available online for $25, $30, $35 that you can order online.
Do you have any to recommend that you think are particularly good?
Well, what's called a multi-bay bow tie. It's actually an indoor version of what people are using outside. It's a little, it looks like a cookie rack where you cool cookies on it, but there's a couple of cross pieces that are the actual antenna elements, and that's why it's called sort of a bow tie. And those work very effectively, and you can get a little two-bay one for indoors very inexpensively. And doesn't take up much more space than a fully extended rabbit ears. In fact, it takes up less space than a fully extended rabbit ears. So that's my suggestion. They also have indoor versions of the larger outdoor antennas that are pointed like a chevron kind of a shape.
And I tried those. I couldn't get that to do much more than what I already have. They're just a simple wire, just a sort of a inverted U UHF antenna.
Well, no, these are multi-element antennas. They have, because the wavelength is so short on UHF, they can actually make a fairly powerful antenna that's not very large because the elements are only about 5 or 6 inches in length. But you need multiple elements to build up the signal strength and to tune for the wide range of channels. So I have not tried any of those. Also, it depends on the construction of your home, the location of your home. I know a person in Savoy who gets perfect reception on a minimal antenna, and yet a person 5 miles away using the same antenna gets poor reception. I got a letter from a farmer outside of Fisher saying his brother who lives half a mile away gets great reception. He gets terrible reception. It depends where your grain silo is, where your barn is. Even a flock of Canadian geese can change the signal temporarily. So it's a very complex issue. But the thing is, it's always been the case. It was the case with analog. When TV first started, everybody put on up antennas to receive before cable. And everybody had different luck with outdoor antennas, which at one time, if you went through Champaign-Urbana in the early 1970s, you'd find every fourth house had a little tower next to it with an antenna on top of it, because that was the one sure way of getting great reception. Because unlike in Chicago, where all the transmitters are basically downtown, here they're spread out over the entire Compass Rose. You can WICD is to the east, and the Fox is to the north, and WILL and WAND are to the southwest. And so, and WCIA is straight west. So it's very complicated for residents here to get perfect reception all the channels without some sort of rotor, although at least with an indoor antenna, you can physically pick it up and turn it, which is a great boon. But I think residents of Champaign with a decent antenna should be able to get great reception. I have a little two-bay UHF antenna on my roof, barely can see it, and I'm getting terrific reception at every station, including Fox, which I shouldn't be getting because it's pointed away from Gifford or wherever Fox is over there near in Vermilion County. So it all depends on your precise location. But again, if you have cable, you don't have to worry about it. If you have a satellite subscription, you don't have to worry about it. And so there's all kinds of ways. And one thing that people are confused about is that if you buy a new digital TV, your old videotapes will still play through that TV. You won't lose the ability to play your old analog stuff. The digital TVs will handle your old recordings. It's just that your DVDs will look better on a new digital TV than they do on your analog TV. So there's backwards compatibility as well. I'm changing the subject a little here. But as far as antennas, it's a trial and error. And I recommend that if you don't want to mess around with it yourself, there are people like I've recommended in my column, like Jesse Swindeman, that are adept, and David Harris out in Farmer City, although David keeps refusing to give me his phone number for some reason, so I can't print it. But I think you can find him in the phone directory for Farmer City.
If I could add a point, since you brought up VHS videotapes, I've put my converter box on my videotape machine, and it's improved the videotaping enormously, even though the videotape machine can only record in analog, but the conversion box converts to digital so well that I get better VHS copies than I ever got before.
Absolutely. I agree with you. The only problem is that when you program your VCR, it doesn't automatically program the cable box, so you're stuck with recording one station at a time until you manually change the cable box. I mean, pardon me, the cable box.
The converter box.
Yes. It's too many boxes.
Right.
So Celeste is here shaking her head looking at me saying, what can I say?
I don't know, you know. Whoa. Okay. So, well, thanks for the call this afternoon. Let's take another call. A listener in Eureka on line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You said once, and I'm just doing this to verify, you said that the time-shifting mechanism on the old VCRs would not work anymore with digital. Is that right?
Well, it will. That is, you can program it to record at any time you wish it to record, but you can't change stations with it. So it'll still record. Let's say you're going out at noon, you want to record a program at 7 o'clock. You set your converter box to the station you want to record, and then you set the VCR to the time you want to record, and it will record. But you can't then say you want to change the station at 9 o'clock, you won't be home till 10. It won't record two different stations until you manually change the station on the converter box.
Oh, you have to change.
The clock works, the timing works, but you can't just have it go from different stations like you could in the old days.
So it's, for all practical purposes, it's destroyed time shifting.
Well, yes and no. It depends how many programs you want to tape on a given evening. So you can set your – if you want to go out and on Friday night and you still want to record numbers on WCIA, you set it for, well, what looks like Channel 3. It's actually up there in the UHF. And then you come home and it's recorded it. But you can't decide to record Jay Leno after that because he's on a different station.
What about on cable?
Your cable box, depending on which cable box you have, that depends on. But again, it's basically you as far as I know, no VCR can change the station on a cable box.
But if you have cable, you don't need a converter box.
Right. It depends. If you have straight cable, if you have old-fashioned cable, the wire just comes in and you screw it into your VCR, then your VCR works like normal. Then there'll be no change.
There'll be no change on the VCRs. You can still record. You can still time shift.
Right. Assuming that your cable just comes in as a piece of coax that you connect to your VCR.
Yes.
If you have a cable box, then you can't do that.
Yeah. That's okay. May I ask another couple questions, please?
Okay.
I have a Panasonic VCR combo. Now, from what has been said, you plug your antenna into the adapter, and then the adapter goes into the TV. Right? Is that right?
Right.
So that would what you just said about the VCR would apply to this VCR with this Panasonic combo TV VCR, right?
Right.
But it'll still tape record with the adapter.
Yes.
Okay.
And one thing you need to know, you probably already know this, but when you do use your cable to record with your VCR, most VCRs have an automatic setup adjustment. You have to tell them that you're going to be recording from cable because above channel 12, the frequencies are slightly different on cable. So the tuner has the ability to deal with this on most VCRs, but it needs to know that you're doing that.
I see.
Okay, it'll be in your instruction manual.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Next, we go to a listener in Urbana, line 2. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I have two questions. One is, if you buy a digital TV, can you still then use rabbit ears? You don't have to have a cable or a dish?
Well, no, you still need the appropriate antenna, even with a digital TV. It's still required to pick up the signal. So a rabbit ears may or may not work with a digital TV, depending on where you live and the signal strength.
Well, this thing you were talking about, this multi-bay thing?
That would work, yes.
Okay. And the other question is, I heard last night that all sorts of people in rural areas were having problems, and they said that they, had all the stuff, but weren't getting the signal, and they thought that they may actually have to go to dish or cable. This is hugely expensive in these economic times. I mean, I would assume that more and more people are going to have to be canceling their cable.
Well, I don't understand that because actually people in rural areas, depending on where you live, should get a better reception than people in town because there's fewer buildings to block the signal, fewer buildings to interfere with reception of the signal. And in town, if you have a little private house and there's an apartment building next to you with a brick wall, you're going to have trouble getting the signal. If you live out in the country on a farm and your silo isn't in the way or your barn isn't in the way, you'll have a perfect view of where the signal's coming from. You'll have probably a better reception. It all depends on where you live, for example.
What about the mountains?
Well, but we don't have mountains in central Illinois, and I'm only talking about our reception area here.
Well, I'm talking about...
She's talking about the rest of America.
Yeah, I mean, they said PBS said that for a while anyway, they expected to lose 17% of their viewership because they use rabbit ears.
Well, the thing is that the digital signal is an on or off signal. That is, you either get good reception or you don't get any reception at all. Analog faded away gently. So, yes, there may be people who are viewing in areas where they have a lot of snow on the picture, and it's a very bad signal, but they still can see a vague analog picture. In digital, there's nothing there. But in reality, it's not really that much different. There's only this 25 or 30-mile zone where the analog is still viewable and the digital isn't. So depending on where a person lives, reception has always been impossible in mountainous areas. Analog reception is terrible in mountains. And people may be able to pick up one station because that's what gets through the mountains. But I'm more concerned right now with people here in central Illinois where we don't have that problem. If you live out east of Danville and you're trying to pick up channel 17, it's a long stretch because Decatur's a long way from the Indiana border. So, yes, everybody's going to have some degree of problem depending on where you live. If you live in Champaign-Urbana, if you can rotate your antenna, you have no problems. So it's we're in a pretty good signal area. It's the trouble is they're all coming from different directions.
I want to thank the listener for her call, and let's take another call now. A listener in Charleston, line 3. Hi.
Hi, I have two questions. First of all, I have got my converter box hooked up, And I thought I read a Consumer Reports had a nice article on the converter boxes, and I believe they mentioned there were three different converter boxes that you could use that they, when you programmed it, they could switch channels. Is that correct, or have you had any experience with that?
I haven't had any direct experience with that, but if Consumer Reports said it was true, then it is true.
Okay.
I just haven't seen all the boxes out there. I know, for example, that the chipset in the Zenith box is a particularly good chipset because they own some of the original patents to digital television, so they got to use them in their chips. Everybody else has to pay them royalties, but Zenith knew how to make the chips because they were already doing that as part of their original research project. So it depends, but there may be converter boxes that will change channels, and in that case, I'm sure they're going to be more expensive than the basic box because every feature they add increases the price. It's like with cell phones. So if Consumer Reports, I recommend people go and read Consumer Reports either at the library or you can get single periods online. You have a month for like $6, I think it is. You can subscribe online to Consumer Reports, and then you can search them for that information.
Yeah, this was in the June 2008 issue, and in there they did mention that Zenith converter box you mentioned, they had one that could do the most of any of them.
Well, that would be great if you could program it. That would be super. Then sync it up with your VCR, and your analog VCR will have more life to it.
But that particular box does not convert, so you have to buy another one to do that problem. All right. So it's buy two boxes, from what I can tell. The other question I have, being in Charleston, Channel 3, we get excellent reception, better than before, and 15 is probably better. 17, we have some problem with it. And Channel 12, there are days it comes in, days it does not come in, and even it might vary from hour to hour. I guess my question is, I've done some research the best I can on antennas, and I'm having difficulty finding one that would work, that somebody could recommend it to work. Now, I can go to websites, and there are a whole bunch of antennas for sale, but I've got to order it over the mail, you get it, and then if it's not good, you got to send it back, etc. Do you have a source a person can go to that they've tested these things and you can have a better selection that you know you're buying something with more confidence?
Well, what I recommend is actually hiring an antenna installer who will come out and bring a number of different antennas with him and keep trying until he gets one that works perfectly for you. I know that's what David Harris does. I know that's Jesse Swinderman does. Jesse swapped out my antenna a couple of times till he got one that was perfect. Yeah, you pay a little more than just buying an antenna and putting it up yourself, but you have the guarantee that whatever antenna is going to end up in your house or on your roof is the right antenna, and you don't have to pay for it until you get the right antenna. And I think that's so paying a little extra for an installer to come out is probably worth it. Now, I don't know who's doing that where you live. Obviously, it's a long service call for these gentlemen to drive down there. But that's the only way you can have a foolproof installation is with somebody who's willing to keep changing antennas, not charging you until you get the right one.
Well, I haven't found anyone in this area who does it any longer. They used to, and they said, no, we're not doing it anymore. We're just going with the Dish Network, that type of thing. So that's
well, David Harris of Farmer City still will drive down there probably, but he'll have to charge you the mileage to get there. I don't have his phone number, unfortunately, but it's probably in the telephone directory for Farmer City. And he seems to know his way around antennas pretty well. So
okay, I can do that. And their question, what makes WILL down here be so erratic?
You know, there are so many possible reasons that it's really hard to say. Now, WILL is the only one of the digital television stations that's still on the VHF band, and that's probably one of the reasons is that the VHF signal propagation is different from UHF. And you will still, to get optimal WILL reception, need a conventional VHF antenna at your distance. Here in Champaign-Urbana, it's not so critical. A UHF antenna will pick it up. But as you get further away, you're going to need an antenna because channel 12 is actually channel 9. And so even, the rabbit ears or an old-fashioned VHF antenna might do better for channel 12 than all the fancy UHF antennas for the rest of the stations.
So you end up then having to buy two different antennas from what you're telling me then.
Or a combination. I mean, you can buy a roof antenna that has, you know, VHF and UHF, and that might work for you, except, of course, they're directional, so you have to find a compromise where you point it.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Next, we take a call from a listener in Normal. Hello.
Hello. I think maybe I can give you some insight into why the extension was needed. I'm a senior citizen, and we get your channel, and we get Peoria beautifully on our 40-year-old antenna that's directional. It doesn't have a rotor. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I got a converter box, plugged it in, and I can't get it to work. Now, it has the our antenna has the old lead-in wires part, and I have an adapter, and I've tried that. So out of desperation, I ordered a second converter, but they can't deliver that until after February 17th.
But it's not the converter box that's the problem, probably. It's your antenna age, that 300-ohm twin lead. Any antenna installer, the first thing they would do is take that off and convert it to a coaxial cable at the antenna, assuming the antenna is still functional. And that is what is required these days. And the boxes all require that as well. There's no input for a twin lead antenna any longer.
Yeah, but what about with the 300 to 75 ohm adapter? It won't work?
Well, you lose a lot. It's not ideal. It's not ideal. And that's why they prefer to do it at the antenna if you're going to adapt it rather than at the box.
Okay. And this means trying to find somebody to change all that. And certainly in February is not the best time to do this, to be having to go up, you know, as far as trying to make a change, because I had no idea. I was assured that it should work even with the other lead-in part.
Well, I'm actually surprised it doesn't work. If you were getting perfect analog reception on those two stations, you should get perfect digital reception. So
okay.
Something isn't quite right.
Okay.
There's something not connected quite right, or the converter box isn't working right. As far as, you know, I agree with you that if you're going to have to change your antenna, it's much better to do it in May than in February. So I agree with you on that part. But
yes.
The June 12th date isn't going to change any of the physics involved with the antenna or the cables. So.
But I have not found anyone in this area so far that has successfully used a converter box. I went to the Ace Hardware store, and I've asked, you know, around, and I don't understand. I mean, it's supposed to be so easy, and it's not. That's part of the problem that we're into.
Well, I was up in the Chicago area, and my partner's parents live in Downers Grove, which is 35 miles southwest of the Loop. And we connected the converter box to their TV, and they're getting on in years, and it picked up every station perfectly except Channel 3, and there was Channel 2, which is the equivalent
CBS.
Channel. Yeah, CBS. And the reason for that is that Channel 2 in Chicago remained atop the Hancock building, where everybody else moved to the Sears Tower. And so that explains the difference in reception in Chicago. But otherwise, every other station, they were amazed at how great the picture looked compared to the old analog reception they had, which was fuzzy and snowy and pretty awful.
Yeah, our son is going to help us, but he can't get here before February 17th. So all I'm saying is that some of us, because of unexpected things, really do need that extra time.
Well, I can accept that. But then there's my old boss, who always filed his income taxes at 11:58 p.m. on April 15th. And there are going to be people, unlike you, who have a definite technical issue, who are going to wait to the last minute, whether we make it June 12th or September 3rd or October 17th or whatever it's going to be. And that's what troubles me, is that some people just are going to wait to the last minute and then discover they have no TV pictures. So
yeah, well, I've been working 3 months on this, so we've been trying.
Well, great.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Good luck. Thanks for the call this afternoon. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Rich Warren is with us this afternoon. We're talking about DTV. Rich writes a technology column for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, and he also contributes articles and reviews to newspapers and magazines elsewhere around the country. Let's take another call now. A listener in Tonica, line 2. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about a TV in my semi. You know, when I've got an older set, but when I park close to a larger city, I get real good reception. What am I going to have to do with that?
Well, it's the same as everybody else. Just get a converter box, and I don't know what kind of antenna you're using, but if you get great analog reception, you'll get fine digital reception, even better than you won't believe how good the picture is on your old analog set.
I see.
But you'll need a converter box, which is about $45 or $50, depending on where you buy it, and the proper antenna.
I see. Well, then I'll also have to run an inverter, won't I? There is no converter box that's DC, is there?
Well, no, I guess not. True, you would have to do that in your truck. Although I assure you they use very little power. It's a trickle. I don't know if there are any battery-powered ones, but, I mean, that's how low power they are. So if you do get an inverter, you don't need one that takes a lot of juice out of your electrical system in the truck because they don't need much power.
Okay. Well, I can give it a try. I'll look around at some of the truck stops.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Good luck. Next, we take a call from a listener in Urbana, line 3. Hi.
Hello?
Hello there.
Yes. Well, you may have answered my question. I've got the converter box going, and I get pretty good reception everywhere, although the only station I really care about is WILL. And it's probably 95% of the time it's fine. The gauge that shows signal strength will show it in the high level, but then suddenly it'll drop out completely, usually for just a few seconds, but sometimes for several minutes.
It's really hard to, you know, I've had the same problem on a couple of times on not channel 12 lately, but on the channel, well, we call it channel 3. And it's really hard to explain why that happens. There can be atmospheric changes. There can be, I mean, literally an airplane can go overhead. If something's landing at Willard and gets between you and the signal, bam, that the 2 or 3 seconds, it's out. And I know it's really annoying because the great thing about analog is when the signal deteriorated, you didn't lose the picture and you didn't lose the sound. You still had a bad picture and decent sound. Now with digital, you lose the picture and you lose the sound for, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. Or you said you've even had a couple of minutes outage. It's really hard to say what is causing that. I think we're early on in this conversion. We're going to have to suffer a while till both the broadcasters and the viewers figure out the details of what this new thing is all about. The broadcasters, really, they've been on the air digital for a year or so, but they haven't worked out all the kinks. I know Channel 3 has had nothing but problems with their digital conversion. And I think once they can apply all of their engineering staff to the digital transmitter and iron out these kinks, we're going to have these problems. But any kind of interference, and literally a flock of geese can do it, any kind of construction crane that moves around between you and the transmitter can do it. So if they're building a building southwest of you between you and Monticello, and the crane swings around, bam, your signal's gone for 3 seconds. It's that crazy. And we never noticed it that much with analog because we had very low expectations.
Well, I think the airplane flying into Willard might explain the very short interruptions, because I think Willard must lie almost directly in line with Monticello from here. It's on just off Race and in south of Florida. So I think it would just about line up there. The longer duration could be some kind of electronic equipment somewhere interfering?
It's amazing what can happen. Theoretically, digital should be relatively immune to interference, but it's not. And any number of things could cause that. And it could be a problem with WILL television. Sometimes the transmitter hiccups. I'm not wanting the chief engineer come storming up here saying it's perfect. But there are so many possibilities. And especially in the winter, if ice gets on the rings of the antenna, there's all kinds of things that can cause momentary problems. It's like, you know, airplanes, you can't see the ice in the wing, but the plane will crash if they don't get the ice off the wing. It can be the same on an antenna element, that frost or ice can form for a moment or two and then finally melt off or evaporate. But there are so many possibilities of things that I wish Celeste could have a physics professor on here to explain how this all works, because I'm not a physicist, but it's very complex. When you start talking about radio frequency energy and broadcasting, it's amazing it works at all. I mean, it took Marconi almost 15 years to figure out how to make an antenna because he just didn't get the idea of wavelength and frequency and all the things that involved in antenna physics.
Well, I have noticed that the snowfall seems to aggravate the situation.
Yeah, it's entirely possible it would. And so there's all kinds of things that happen. And I really wish I could help you, but it's one of those things where you got to have somebody there and see it and try to figure out exactly what caused it. And even then, who knows what it is.
Well, I said 95% of the time the reception is fine. And this is with an outdoor antenna in the attic of a one-story house.
All I can say is I bet over the next 6 months that it will probably get better as the broadcast engineers tweak the system to be even better than it is now. At least I'm hoping that's going to be the case. There's no guarantee, but and then, you know, otherwise you might have to like move your antenna a few inches or get it up a little bit higher or something to increase that signal strength just that little tiny bit. And that's the thing about digital, is that just even a little tiny bit helps. So if you increase the power, like the signal strength, by one decibel, it can make all the difference in the world.
Thanks very much. You've been a great help on the several times you've been on television and radio recently.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for the call. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Rich Warren, our guest this afternoon. We're talking about DTV. And my name is Celeste Quinn. The phone numbers, if you'd like to talk with us, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We're going to take another call now, a listener on the toll-free line. Where are you calling from this afternoon?
Well, if that's me, it's Tangier.
Tangier, okay.
Indiana.
Tangier, Indiana. Good afternoon.
Thank you. A couple of questions here, which I know you'll answer very simply. We have terrible times getting Channel 12 where we are, and I'm sure it's because of the obstacles in between. Sometimes it's great. Other times it fades in and out. The sound comes. The picture goes. It moves up and down. But anyhow, that's probably obstacles. My question is, when we put in the converter box, all we get is Channel 15, and it's really great. Now, that's the ABC station in Champaign. And so I wonder, in February, first, are all stations now on digital? And second, will all stations be on digital after February 15th?
All stations are now already required to be broadcasting a digital signal.
Okay.
And so between now and the new date of May 12th, they will be on the air digital. They have to be on the air digital. But now there's a reprieve for analog, so the analog portion of the station may stay on the air till June 12th. Of course, being in Indiana, you are very close, since the Channel 15 transmitter is in Fithian, which is pretty far east of Urbana, so it's closer to Indiana. That's probably why you get such good reception. One thing, if you're in a fringe area like you are, height is very important. And the sad thing is, ever since satellite came along, all these companies used to put up towers for people, these little short towers that you could put up along your next to your house to give you height, are gone. So it's impossible to find somebody putting up a tower. I think David Harris still does it, but it's a very lost art, basically. So the trick is to get an antenna up as high as possible, which means, you know, as high on the peak of your roof as possible, or if you're on a farmer, on your barn, or somewhere high up. And that will make a big difference in the signal quality as well as the quality of the antenna. But height is really important to receiving a good signal.
See, so we've been getting great reception with rabbit ears. We've got three local channels, which we can get with rabbit ears, just come in fine. But you put the converter box in, they don't come in.
Yeah, try using an indoor UHF antenna, see if you get any results with that. I think you might get an improvement, because all the stations except Channel 12 are going to be UHF in the future. So, see if that helps at all.
Okay. Now, you said Channel 12, you need the VHF.
Right. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, you can probably get by with a UHF antenna, because most of them, Channel 9 is high enough in the VHF spectrum that it's sort of just about receivable with a UHF antenna for a good high signal strength area. But if you're in a weak signal strength area, you will need a separate VHF antenna for Channel 12, or pardon me, Channel 9. It gets so confusing. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, your TV set does the conversion, so you tune in Channel 12, it automatically goes to Channel 9 saying, I know where Channel 12 is. Thank goodness the TV set is smart, because I'm not.
Okay, so I can just get this indoor thing and set it on the TV like rabbit ears?
Yeah, you can try that, and I know they do make them, but you may have to go on the Internet to find one, because I couldn't find any here in the electronics, the stores in Champaign-Urbana. Maybe some of the specialty dealers carry them, but certainly not the big box stores.
Well, we're tuned permanently to WILL radio. Now, is that going to change?
Nope, radio is not going to change. You're just fine.
Thanks a lot for sounding so confident.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. What do these antennas cost? Is there a range?
Oh, yeah. The indoor ones are very inexpensive. They range in price from $25 to maybe $40 or $50. By the way, don't buy an amplified indoor antenna. It's a total waste of money. Putting an amplifier, an indoor antenna, accomplishes nothing except raising the price and increasing the profit margin for the company that makes it or the dealer. So you don't need an amplifier. It's not going to help you. You don't have to buy one of these fancy amplified $90 antennas that looks like it was designed by some modern sculptor. It's just how a good basic UHF antenna, and it's so hard to find in the stores. I went through everything they had on the retail, and I couldn't find an antenna
that's
I wanted to buy.
That's got to be really frustrating for some folks. Maybe they don't have a computer, you know? And
I agree.
And and people are trying to work through this, and you add the cost of fooling around trying to look for these things. You know, you've got time, and then you've got the converter box, and you've got the frustration, and you've got the...
I can't understand why, rather than designing an antenna that's tuned for UHF specifically, that all these companies who make these indoor antennas simply slap the sticker on the box that says, great for digital TV, or designed for digital TV. The antenna doesn't know whether it's analog or digital. To the antenna, it's agnostic. It's whether what the frequency of the station is, what the channel number of the station is what makes the difference, not whether it's analog or digital to the antenna. And I just want to make one quick statement before we're running out of time here, is that the reason we're doing this is not only to give people better TV reception, but because all these extra frequencies on the TV band can be used by emergency workers, fire, police, ESDA workers who need these frequencies for communication. There was a shortage of emergency communications. And also for people who want all these enhanced cell phone services. AT&T and Verizon bought huge chunks of the spectrum to offer enhanced cell phone services for all the people who want to do all this fancy stuff with their cell phones. So this is not being done just to inconvenience people and force them to buy a new TV or a converter box.
But you can see where the frustration lies.
I fully agree. And why all the TVs have been out there for a year, but the antennas haven't. And I just don't understand why none of these big box stores, none of these manufacturers figured out that they should be selling good antennas with their TVs. So that's my pulpit for the day.
Let's take a call, a listener on line two in Indiana. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Another frustrated caller out in a rural area. We just have rabbit ears. Prior to putting our digital box on, got eight stations, seven of them quite clear, one of them foggy. Now with the digital box, we get one. Tried different antennas. You answered one of my questions of whether or not a power boost would help. It sounds like you're saying that doesn't.
Probably not.
One question several of the electronic stores around here have told me is that the stations are not broadcasting at full digital power now, and when February 17th, they will increase their power, and we may get another station or two. Any idea if that's true?
That's idiosyncratic to the station. Most stations are up to full power. A few aren't, so there may be slight changes. As I said, they're still tweaking the system, and we may see a difference on February 17th, or now they postponed until June 12th. Maybe the stations won't bother to make any changes till June 12th because they don't want to pay this extra electric bill. But there shouldn't be too much change after the February 17th date. So if you see improvement, that's probably all you're going to see.
Well, I agree with one of your other callers. I think most of the professionals are significantly underestimating the problems that people are having because we have worked, as the one lady had said, a couple of months on this and have made no progress in getting better stations. So,
well, I agree with you. I agree that there is a problem, but I'm not sure the postponing it is going to solve it. I think there's other ways to deal with this, and the government has not helped people as far as finding the proper antenna, for example, as well as marketing converter boxes.
Okay. And let's take one more call this afternoon, last caller this afternoon, in Kankakee on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Oh, I was wondering, we get our CBS from Chicago, Channel 2, and it doesn't seem to come, it doesn't come in. Is there something where they're going to up that station, or do you know?
Well, I sure hope so, because it doesn't even come in some places in Chicago suburbs. So they've got a problem with Channel 2, and I don't know what their problem is, but I hope they're working on it, because, as I said, in the location in Downers Grove, every channel came in brilliantly except for Channel 2. So they've got a problem.
Right. I just wonder if they're going on top of the Trump Tower. Is that their conversion, or do you know?
Well, they won't go on the Trump Tower. There is a new building that's supposed to go up in Chicago at the end of near Navy Pier that's supposed to be 130 stories tall or whatever, and I presume that's where the TV stations ultimately will move, but that's 3-4 years down the line from here. So I don't know what's going on with Channel 2. I haven't kept track of it, but they do have a terrible signal.
Yes, they do. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this afternoon. There, we'll wrap it up. All the calls that we've had today suggest to me that we should have you back either here on the Afternoon Magazine or on Focus 580 with David Inge.
Yeah, I'm delighted to try to help out, and I feel I really want to go out to these people's homes and help them and see what the individual situations are, because people are sincerely having problems. The postponement, I'm not sure, is going to solve those problems. because what's true today is going to be true in May. If they can't get a signal, they're going to have to do something about an antenna. I mean, that's where the issue lies.
Yeah, and it's June now. Apparently.
June 12th. And I bet come May 29th, they're going to vote again, and they're going to make it September 18th. I mean, I don't know. It's very arbitrary how they're doing this. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we'll leave it for now. Rich, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Rich Warren.